Shana Tova to Bishvat Sameach to everyone. I wanted to share a thought or two about the fantastic and fascinating day that we find ourselves in, a day that's already recorded in the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah, is Rosh Hashanah La'ilan, a day where we celebrate the renewal of the trees. We start to see the Shkedia, the almond tree, and other trees start to blossom as we shift, with the majority of the winter behind us, towards the start of the spring, with Purim and Pesach coming up as we enter Chag HaAviv. This is really a unique time of year. And I was thinking last night, as I was discussing after Marav with a friend, we were discussing what different fruits we have for our Tu B'Shvat Seder, right? Magen Avraham and others already mentioned that there's a minog that had to be marbe with peros, particularly Eretz Yisrael, on Tu B'Shvat. To be mekayim, the concept of having a Tu B'Shvat Seder is already brought down from the Chemdas Yamim and the Mekubalim from Tzfat in the 1600s, the idea of having a proper Seder, similar to Lalo Pesach, where we actually share and have different peros from Eretz Yisrael and be mishabeach and share praise towards the wonderful land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And my friend mentioned that they actually got a pineapple. And I said, that's actually very funny, we also got a pineapple. And then he mentioned, yeah, I didn't want to get a pineapple because there's a whole machloket, is a pineapple really a fruit or a adama? Right, halacha l'maaseh, we join in, we say an adama on pineapple. And because of that, he was not so happy that was what they did. So he also was like, you know, I'm also going to put up some apples and some other things. And I said, oh, good, we also have other things as well besides for just the pineapple. And it made me think, there's a whole debate regarding numerous fruits and vegetables, such as the pineapple, the passion fruit, and probably most famously, the eggplant, or as it's known in Arabic, and thus many of the much of the halakhic literature that discusses the eggplant, the badaljin, right? There's much debate surrounding specifically the eggplant, because an eggplant, it grows on what looks to be a tree, okay? But the tree only lasts 3 years. After 3 years, the tree will die. And as a result, there's much debate about, well, if it's it grows on a tree, and it only dies after 3 years, then you can never eat the eggplant because it's always going to be orla and it's going to be asr. And there's many different answers given to this question. But one answer that I remember when I was first learning the whole sugya about the badaljin, the eggplant, and orla, and the brachot, and all the intricacies of a fascinating debate, it comes across as a very interesting one. There are many different answers given how we can eat the eggplant and whatnot. But the Chazon Ish, in his Sefer, Chazon Ish Orla, in Siman Yud Aleph, shared a fascinating answer. The first time I heard it, it was seemingly a big shock to me, because I never would have anticipated such an answer from the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish himself, who came and he said, how do I know that I'm making a Dhamma on the eggplant, and that it's not ha'etz? He brought a proof, saying that there's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us something in this world like the eggplant, that grows on a tree for us to enjoy, for us to gain from, for us to eat, but it would be automatically us or forever. He's not going to give us a fruit or vegetable that we could never get benefit from. And as a result, it must be that it's a Dhamma, right? Because it doesn't make sense that Hashem would put something in this world for us that grows on a tree that we couldn't actually come and eat. And it was just such a fascinating answer, the way he approached it, as in, without getting into the intricacies of, well, maybe the tree is hollow, or all these other discussions in the Rishonim and the Achronim, and understanding the Gemara and how we're going to pass it on this. And he practically said, no, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us every single thing in this world to benefit from, and based on that, I know that for sure the eggplant is going to be Mutzar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't create a tree that dies after 3 years, thus meaning its fruit is going to be usher forever. A similar answer was given by Rav Mordechai Eliyahu regarding the passion fruit. And that's just an interesting idea, that everything in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us for our benefit. And this question, a little bit differently, was asked in the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshat Tezria regarding Baitornas Rafos, Harasha. He asked Rabbi Akiva. Very few people in Chazal actually referred to as Harasha, that he was like a wicked person. Baitornas Rafos is one of them. And he asks Rabbi Akiva two questions. The first question that he asks is, who's better, God or man? Because God only gives us wheat, and man is the one who actually takes the wheat and he grinds the wheat and makes it into bread, makes it into rolls, or makes it into cake, right? God's not so great. Man's clearly better than God. Man is better. You know, he's able to more abilities. You're the one who makes it into bread. God gave you an unfinished product, and you're the one who finished it. Indicating that God is inferior to human beings. And that's a premise that people sometimes walk into life with, that, you know what, I'm here to do something, and because I can do something and God didn't do it, that means maybe I'm better than God. And Rav Soloveitchik addressed a similar question, but on the flip side. Rav Soloveitchik was asked, why do we see Berakat HaMazon on bread? Right, bread, seemingly, based off of what Tornos Zerofo said, bread is the definition of something that man worked for. If I wanted to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that he did, that's 100% from God, then I would have thought I should make a Berakat HaMazon specifically for fruits. The Berakat HaMazon should be said specifically on something that grows from the ground, that Hashem seemingly did all the work for. Not that I took from Hashem and I ground it and I cleaned it and I sifted it and then I added the water and I added the yeast and I added the salt and I made the bread, etc. That's a man-made thing. I would have thought I should make Berakat HaMazon on the fruits. And Rav Soloveitchik famously said, that's not true. Because you're right, it's a good question. But Rav Soloveitchik said, because I would have thought with the fruits that 100% came from God, and thus the bread came from me. And we have to make a Berakat HaMazon specifically on bread, specifically on the things in life that we work hard for, to recognize that even though I was Torah, even though I toiled and I worked in order to get my bread, yes, I had to bake the cake, and I had to sift the flour and add the ingredients and mix it and put it in the oven, and I worked hard to make sure that we had cake or that we had bread or we had cookies or whatever it was that I made. But at the end of the day, even though I worked hard, I have to take a step back and say, yes, I did a lot of the work. But at the end of the day, Hakol min Mishamayim, everything came from the Ribono Shalom. Every single thing was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even though I worked hard, I have to say thank you to Hashem. Right? It's obvious and it's clear that when you have a beautiful fruit, you have a nice pomegranate, a grapefruit, an apple, a banana, of course that came from Hashem. It grew from the ground, mushlam, perfect as it was for us to take, to pick, to eat, and enjoy. But it's specifically the things in life where we're Torah, where we work hard for, where maybe we come and say, Kochi be'etzem yadi. Maybe it's because of my hard work, because of how good I am, how strong I am, how advanced my tools are, how knowledgeable I am. That's what gave me this fruit. That's what gave me this food. But we have to take that step back and recognize, no, even when I think maybe it's from me, even when I think it was my doing, it was my skills, my hard work, my effort that gave me it, I have to take that step back and say, no, Hakol min Hashamayim. Everything's from the Ribono Shalom. And this one was, I thought, was very fitting that this year, the way the schedule, the calendar worked out, was Tu B'Shvat fell out this week in particular, when we said Tefillat Haman, the special tefillah for Parnasa from that's brought down by Rav Menachem, Rav Mendel, of Rimanov, that, and it's also right, and it's also brought down in the Yerushalmi as well. That's specifically the Tefillat Haman, the Parshat Haman, on the week of the man is a skula for Parnasa. And in the Hi Ratzon that's quoted, the tefillah for Parnasa that people say after the reading Parshat Haman, we specifically say at the very end that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite wisdom and His help and His chesed, is going to give us our Parnasa, and He's going to make sure that we're going to have food and be financially stable for us and our families and all of Klal Yisrael, and that everything's going to be, you know, amazing, and we're going to not worry and not be hungry. And it says at the very, very end, right? Right, we're not going to have to work too hard for it. And he says, "Lo mitachad yidei basar v'dam." It shouldn't, our parnasa, our wealth, our financials shouldn't be coming from humans. It should be coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we recognize that. And that's part of what we're saying, even when we daven for parnasa. Parnasa is something where you generally would think, no, that's from me. I went to work. I worked hard. Yes, we go to work. We work hard. We do everything we can to make our parnasa. But at the end of the day, the goal is that we take a step back and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who provides for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who does everything for us. And on a day like Tu B'Shvat, when we think, you know, maybe I planted all the trees, maybe I worked so hard to have the orchard, I had to, you know, to do everything, I had to make the rolls, I did everything in my power to make sure that we have food. But even in such a case, I take that moment to step back and say, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. Yes, maybe I had to grind the wheat. Maybe I had to pick the fruits and to water the field. And I worked very, very hard for it. But as the Chazon Ish says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put everything in this world for us to benefit from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us everything we can do to try and get better, to try and enjoy this world as we can. And we have to take that moment, especially today on Rosh Hashanah Le'ilad, on a day specifically geared towards appreciating and enjoying Tuvcha Eretz Yisrael, the greatness, the wonders, and the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. But it's also a day where we take a step back, and it's not just enjoying the beauty of Eretz Yisrael as we know it and the way we want it to be, but it's recognizing that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave for us. It's recognizing that everything is Min HaShemayim. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we appreciate that and we thank Him for that. Specifically on Tu B'Shvat, the day when the trees are growing, a day when we would have thought, maybe it's all about my hard work, right? The fire, it's a day where we appreciate, we say thank you to the farmers, we say thank you to everyone who's worked so hard to make sure that we have food on our table and we have crops that are going. But if you ask many farmers who I've met or I've spoken to, they all say everything's from Shemayim, right? I have no way to know how much rain there's going to be this year. I have no way to know what the weather's going to be. I don't know if all of a sudden there's going to be a plague or a pestilence that's going to eat my crop. Mm-hmm. And we take a moment, specifically on Tu B'Shvat, and day when we recognize the trees, which seemingly are something that man and the wheat and all the Sheva, meaning that things are, and just crops in general, things that I would have thought really come from man's doing. I have to work hard, I have to plant the orchard, I have to do to pick the fruits, I have to squeeze the grapes and make the wine and grind the wheat to make the bread. And that's very much Kochi Betz Miyadi. But Rav Soloveitchik says, no, specifically on things that we're Toreach for, we have to take a step back and say, Berakat HaMazon, and say, thank you Hashem for giving us this. Even though seemingly I would have thought I did it myself. But really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gave it to us. And we have to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much for all of the goodness that you've given us, for all of the wonderful things that you've given us, for the parnasa, for the fruit, for the food on our table. And with that, we say, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, Ki Li Olam Chasteo, thank you, Hashem, for everything you've given us, because you are the one who created and sustains this world, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, and we'll continue to build this world based off your chesed, and we're going to want to continue and to take that chesed and reflect Midah Keneged Midah and only relate to other people in a similar way. Amen, Shana Tovah.